As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Hello there. Hello. Welcome. Yes. Nice to see you. Nice to be with you, Mike.
You sound much closer than you did last Tuesday when we got together, and I appreciate you finding time for me down there in lovely Orange County. You had a meeting of the mayors of the state of Indiana. We'll start there. We'll work backwards to get forwards. How did your meetings go down there in lovely southern Indiana?
Well, thanks. It was good. We hadn't been together in person with mayors and city officials from around the state. One nice event was we got an award for Switchyard Park as one of the state's best placemaking enterprise for cities over 50,000. So that was nice, getting that recognized. And then a lot of time in the hallways and with others talking about how their cities are dealing with this or that, and that's always helpful.
And obviously the this or that probably was, what, 9 out of 10? How are you handling the COVID situation, employment, getting your trash or your recycling picked up? Is that a same problem other cities had, Mayor Hamilton, or are we just alone in all of this?
Well, yes, we do share a lot of the same issues, of course. I will say that I think the awareness of COVID and the pandemic seemed a little lower there in terms of attention levels than what we've been doing. And maybe that's one of the reasons we're one of only two counties rated at a one on the state map these days. You know, we've been really doing a lot of good things with a lot of partnerships, but it was a lot of what are you doing with American Rescue Plan Act money, and how are you dealing with, people returning to work, and how about employment, and how about housing, and how about finances, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good that we are in the we're down to one now, so that suggests we're moving in the right direction.
I go to these meetings, Mike, so you don't have to. So
well,
you're
welcome. I appreciate my schedule's hell. I would be moving heaven and earth to get to these things. But no, you mentioned we are one. I didn't check the map today. That's good. We're trending in the right direction. Now we're only one of two, but sometimes we just have to worry about us in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, the state map is generally looking better, you know, in terms of the colors, if you will. And of course, they do kind of a 2-week lag on actually changing anything. But the numbers for COVID, the pandemic in the state and in our community are generally moving in the right direction. So that's a relief, and we should welcome that. The hospitalizations, the deaths, the positivity rates, the caseloads overall are all going in the right direction. We're not out of the woods. I've said that a lot of times. On Friday, I said, you know, we still need to be wary, and we got to not be weary in doing the right things, because we have to just keep plugging. But I'm hopeful, and we really do appreciate that IU is, you know, really focused on this, and IU Health and so many local institutions, and our mask mandate, which is unique in the state, I think continues to help us. So we're going to keep that rolling, I think, for a little while through the month probably, and then the health experts will take a look at whether that should go on longer.
Now, that mandate, doesn't it have a clause in it if we hit some certain threshold it automatically rescinds itself, or am I misremembering that?
It does, you're right, but I think it's unlikely that would be invoked at this point in mid-October, because it takes a couple weeks. I'm not positive of that, but I would expect we're going to stay steady unless the Board of Health looks at the topics. But look, let's keep plugging, doing what we're doing. It's definitely helping. I was in an event at IU last night, and a lot of people wearing masks, and then, you know, when you're eating or drinking, you take it off and then you put it back on, and we just try to keep everybody safe.
That's the smartest way to do it. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. The city of Bloomington is rolling along, and we're busy. Now, when you have your Friday conversation with all these health experts and you go over these things, I'm not an epidemiologist, and I know you're not either, but we had a variant last time or this time last year, and we're not seeing one this time around. Can I be optimistic here, or is that for the experts to worry about?
Well, I will share. We got to get the epidemiologist, but we got some really good ones. But I will share that, you know, I guess that because the Delta variant is the existing variant right now that is just it's what we have going on. Any subsequent variant is likely to be a variant of the Delta variant.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
And there are some reasons, I gather, and they're beyond me, to hope that is not just a wild draw from the deck of what might happen, but that variant itself may help us predict what may come, and we hope we won't see one. But again, we got to be humble. I'm not the expert, but we should be pleased that even though we're not all vaccinated, that we're seeing some progress. And it's tragic that we've had kind of this July to October run that we've had because of Delta, and we've lost people in the state. And again, it hit younger people harder than it had ever before with the Delta variant. But let's keep our fingers crossed and keep our masks on. All right.
It works for me. And the other part of this would be at the city level, we saw, a couple weeks ago, you had issues with the sanitation department trying to get
recycling
everything.
Recycling pickup, yeah.
Are you still finding cases weekly, or is it wavy just like everything else? Or have we reached a point of homeostasis where those who are vaccinated and those who aren't? Are we still changing some minds? Are you still passing out $100 bills?
That was a big word, by the way. I don't know what the heck that means, but it sounds like stable. But
I hope it was. That's how I meant it.
Okay. We had September was our highest month of employee cases, I think I mentioned before, compared to all year, and the second highest of the whole pandemic. So that was concerning, and that showed us the Delta impact. We had 6 employees test positive. 2 weeks ago, we had 3 in the past week, and I haven't gotten the number yet for this week. I hope it's not any higher than that. We have had a few more people sign up for the $100 bonus. We're at 64% of our employees now, which is good. I'd love it to be at 84%, but we're not. But we're keeping at it. And I was just going to mention, it's probably worth mentioning how important the flu shot is, maybe even more important than last year, because last year we were so locked down and everybody protected pre-vaccine. Now we got a lot more people acting like, hey, no big deal, I can go out in the world. But the flu vaccine will really help us protect our healthcare system and protect us. So I do want to encourage people, even if you didn't get the COVID vaccine, please get the flu vaccine, and all of us should be getting the flu vaccine who are qualified.
Yeah, I think the larger point is just because you've been vaccinated for the COVID it's not a buy one, get one free. You have to.
Doesn't do anything, exactly.
Right. Now, down the road, we hope they put that all together, like measles, mumps, rubella in one shot. Wouldn't that be great down the road if we could just, bam, wipe that out every year? Well, we're not there yet, so please, again, protect yourself, protect others. And more importantly, protect the healthcare system. They've been busy enough. They could use
these folks have been heroes indeed, and they could use our help right now. They're speaking of weary. They're pretty weary. So let's try to do what we can.
Yeah, and you just can't go to the bench and put in another one. They're specifically trained in their fields. They are not replaceable, and that's the issue. Mayor Hamilton checks in with us every Tuesday just after 4:05, and looking high atop One City Center, there is the 7 line, and it is cruising across town east to west. It is almost a thoroughfare boulevard. What is the term I'm looking for where it's nonstop activity?
Well, I walked the length of it, I think late last week, Friday maybe or something, and I was really pleased. I think that is going to be a nice new feature for the city, and it's been paved, newly paved. Most of it, there's still a little bit, block or two on the far west end of it, but where we're waiting to put in a big culvert that's getting delivered soon. We had to replace something when we dug it up and said, "Ooh, that needs to be fixed." Kind of like when you do a home project and pull up your floor and say, "Oops, the joists need to be worked on," or whatever. We've also started to put in the traffic changes, because once we got this east-west Pike and Ped lane and the traffic for buses and others, we wanted to help its flow. So we're actually from Indiana to Walnut, there's going to be no stop signs for the traffic there to help both pedestrians, bikes and cars and buses to move a little more easily. So those signage changes have been made, and I want everybody to be careful. Just take it easy through there as you get used to the new patterns.
As I mentioned on Monday, I was down there on my bike one part of the day and in my car the other, just to kind of see how it was all going on. And again, what we just remind people, there's a sign that says one way I'm staring at right now, and people drive the wrong way down that. Just because there's a sign there doesn't mean everybody. You've got the flags on top the stop sign. You have the yellow underneath the octagon that says cross traffic does not stop. You've got the 15-foot by 15-foot signboards that say caution, cross traffic does not stop. We can lead the horses to water, but I would still kind of have my head on a swivel. And when we were talking about before we went on the air that I told you my experience, even bike or car, when people are going westbound or eastbound on the new expressway or
call it our 7 line. Let's go to the 7 line.
Let's get everybody calling it that. Good point. The Pavlov's dogs are still stopping at Dunn and Grant and Lincoln and Washington because it's been a four-way stop forever. So just because you know the rules, you being me, you got to watch out for the guy in front of you who might see a car or somebody else and decide to slow down because that's how they've been doing it for 20 years, 30 years. We're just going to have to get used to it together. But I tell you what, I prefer when I ride my bike to ride it downhill. So I pedaled it up to 7th and Walnut, and then I took it down all the way to Indiana. All gas, no brakes. That was very quick, and that will move traffic through at a different pace, which we hope helps. We know the parking garages are very close to the downtown area where we've lost street parking. I know it's not convenient for every single walk of life, but that will help move traffic where you're not on 3rd Street or there's no Kirkwood anymore to drive through. So if you need to get somewhere, and I don't want to say quickly, but you're not going to wait going east to west, west to east from campus to downtown or vice versa. There's still some orange barrels. There's still some yellow caution tape. There's still some road closed.
There's some big holes in the ground still. I do want to say we got to be careful. It's a very active construction site still. And I noted when my walk, too, I'm sure you see there's some big areas where trees are going to go in.
Oh, okay.
And the tree plots are still, there's some big holes in the ground still. So that's why the bike lanes aren't open. I want to keep everybody safe through that. But it'll happen soon. And I hope people will enjoy it and use it, and we'll tweak it and learn as we need to. You know, we had to tweak a little bus turning lane place right at Indiana and 7th, and that's done, I think, or at least close to done. So we'll keep listening and learning about how to make it better.
And the one thing I did notice when I was down at that end of it riding along, the curb separator from Indiana East to Ernie Pyle is almost the same color. It blends in awfully, awfully well. And I don't think it's high enough to hurt anybody, but you'll have to. I'm not saying paint it lime green or anything, but that kind of blended in a little bit more than I'd like it to blend in. So
I'm gonna put down your comment in the comment list there. Now, yeah, I hear you. It's kind of a maroon, isn't it?
Yes, and it for those maybe who aren't as aware of situations, that might be. You don't want to bill for axle damage. That's what you don't want. You're the mayor. You've got enough stuff going on. But you brought up the comment box, and you're joking, but you're serious. If people do have comments about this, they can go to the website, right, and suggest anytime, any place, anywhere.
You know, for this or anything else in the city, we welcome comments on our U-Report system or on the website with comments, or just call my office. And absolutely, we welcome suggestions.
And now they might not all be listened to, but they'll be read. And
no, they'll be listened to. They may not all be obeyed, but you know,
that's a better word.
Yeah.
So 7 line is we're on schedule. Is that you wanted this done by Halloween? Is that what I remember?
I think we're hoping to have it wrapped up by the end of this month. I think technically the due date was in November, but we're hoping to get it sooner. It depends on this culvert and the weather and the final stages. But we're in the last 2-minute drill here.
Excellent. So just putting the finishing touches on and the culvert is one thing you can't. That's nothing you could do. That wasn't in the original plan, so we'll have to be a little flexible for that. Speaking of Halloween, you've declared the hours on the official day for Halloween this year, same as they usually are. So that's good news. Everybody can get ready for Sunday, October 31st.
I hope our community can enjoy it. Outdoors is good. Staying safe. It's easier this year than it was last year. So let's hope for good weather and good spirits.
And that Halloween, just so everyone remembers, the quote-unquote official city trick-or-treating hours, Sunday, October 31st, 5:30 to 8:30. If your neighborhood does something on Saturday or Friday or whatever, great. I know there's usually something going on every single weekend of October. That involves handing out candy. I try to get to as many of those events as possible.
Can I just remind you that I am happy to set official Halloween hours, but I don't want people to think that the mayor of Bloomington can tell you exactly who and when you can knock on doors in this place. You know, I mean, we encourage it, and it's a good thing, but, you know, I don't run Halloween, let's make clear, if you want to. But it's a time that everybody can be welcome. But, you know, some neighborhoods want to do it a little different.
Do it. That's, yeah.
Work it out together. That's all right.
I think the greater point is just be done by 8:30 on Sunday. That's the quote-unquote official end time of Halloween. We got to go to school. The next day is November, for crying out loud. Let's get to bed. After eating a pile of candy. It's not going to happen. I know that. I know that for sure. Big news today. The hospital is going to be opening. They've set a date, it looks like. Our friends are moving to the bypass. We've known that has been coming for some time. We knew that they were hoping to be on schedule before the end of the year, so we saw that in the paper today. And I know, obviously, you talked to all the hospital administrators on your weekly discussions in COVID. Well, if we're going to move them on over to the bypass, that means we're going to move them off of 2nd Street. What's next in the where are we and what goes on for the reuse plan?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. And it's probably worth just, you know, taking a moment to remind ourselves that this is the biggest single investment kind of economic development project ever in the city, of $500 million or so. And it's a really big deal to have that kind of investment in the future for healthcare and academic research and a beautiful new campus out there. So we're very excited about that. It's a big deal for the community. The next step after they move, and it's interesting. I actually didn't get to read the article yet, but they're going to move basically everybody at once. Kind of the patients all go. You know, you don't run two hospitals. You're moving everybody. So that's a huge logistical exercise. And then once they're in the new place, then there's the whole decommissioning and deconstructing and eventually demolition of the current site. And that will be a long process too, many months for sure. And of course, we're already planning for the infrastructure that's going to go in that area. We had, as you know, a major community-led planning process that produced a wonderful master plan that's going to re-knit those streets, kind of create the city blocks again back in that mega block. And we've had a lot of engineering work on that, and hope to do that construction next year, begin that on the east side block and then in the main block. So there's tons of work ahead, but this is a once a century kind of thing for a city. 24 acres, another 40 that are medical zone that we get to kind of reimagine and rebuild for the future. So it's I'm really thrilled with the opportunity to do it with a lot of partners.
Now, the only thing that's going to stay is the historic hospital and the parking garages. Do I have that right?
Well, that's right. The parking garage, we think, can be a really good asset for decades to come. The historic core building, KOHR, right at First and Rogers, is we hope we can keep it. We have to figure out who can use it and what we can do with it. But the hope is to be able to do something with that building. And everything else, essentially, is going to be demolished. That was the hospital's one of the terms of their sale. They didn't want to leave that lurking thing, and so that'll be the next step.
Gotcha. And all the committees and group. I mean, the committee has 14,000 people on it. Are they still meeting? How do you get them all safely in the same Zoom room?
Yeah, they haven't met for a little while, but they are kind of in the wings as we're going to be doing. We still have some decisions to make. One of which is what we're going to call this neighborhood. And that's a big decision because we've decided that the old hospital site doesn't have the best ring to it.
No, it does not, yeah.
So that's one. Another is kind of how are we going to integrate affordable housing in this area? How much and how will we pay for that? And then, of course, there's going to be a lot of – this is many, many years, Mike, that it's going to be developing. We want to see a lot of people living there. We want to see a lot of vitality. The building and trades park, actually next year, we hope we'll get refurbished into a futsal court, which is kind of fun, into urban soccer and all that. Some of this depends on the budget, too, which is coming up tomorrow.
I was going to point that out to you. I saw a memorandum sent out as a press release from your office, and you are painting a picture of clarity of what happens if the budget is accepted, the 2022 version, and what is going to happen if it is rejected. Why did you feel the council needed to see that in writing?
Yeah, you know, some of this is kind of that old idea of sausage making, of it's not always fun to watch what happens in legislative enterprises. But every year, the annual budget's a very, very important step. We've been working on it for 6 months since April. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night the 13th, is the council's ultimate vote on the budget. And I felt the need to kind of clarify, because, again, this is really technical stuff, but under Indiana state law, the council does not get to amend the budget. It's different from Congress. It's different from the state house. In a municipality, a mayor presents a balanced budget. By law, it has to be balanced. And then the council can either adopt it or they can cut it. They can reduce items in the budget or they can reject it. And we've had a lot of back and forth. And I know there's some council members who don't, it's not the budget they most want to see. There's things they'd like to see different. There's things I'd like to see different in the budget. But the thing I wanted to emphasize to the council was tomorrow night you have to vote one way or the other. And if you don't vote for the budget, we actually, under Indiana law, simply repeat the 2021 budget in 2022. And that would not be a good thing for our
city. And repeat it verbatim, not with all the bells and whistles of COVID attached to it, because that wasn't in last year's budget.
That's right. It would mean a major impact on our community's future. And I kind of just wanted to express to council members who I've worked very closely with to say, look, we've been trying to improve this and debating this and all, but in the end, you have to vote tomorrow on yes or no. And if you vote no on the budget, it's really, we can't give raises to any of our employees. We don't have money for extra police salaries. We don't have money for affordable housing. We don't have money for infrastructure investments. Our parks, we actually may face employee layoffs, and we don't need to do that. So I just wanted to make clear that don't let the perfect stop you from doing the good and you know, try to do the right thing for our community. So I hope they'll move forward with that, and it's really important for our community's advancement.
So that is tomorrow night then, yes or no vote, simple as that?
It is, 6:30. I mean, it's not as simple as yes or no. There'll be like eight different ordinances and salary ordinances and all this, but the first vote will be on the budget, and that's a really critical one to get at least five of them say, well, even if I don't like every piece of this, it's certainly better to have a new budget than to be stuck with the old budget for another year that wasn't designed for next year.
Yeah, budgets aren't designed to last 5 years. They're designed to last 12 months, and I think that's the interesting part to take away from that. Not, as you mentioned, not everybody knows how the sausage is made, and that sometimes it's good to learn, that's for sure, but it is very, very real, and there are laws that have to be followed, just not you can't pound your fist on the table and make something go away or make it happen. It just doesn't. It doesn't work that way. So Deputy Mayor Don Griffin will join us on Thursday. He'll get us a full recap of the council's Wednesday night meeting, and we'll see what else is happening. Thank you for your time, as always, my friend. It's appreciated. Welcome back, and we'll get to it next Tuesday.
Be well, Mike. Have a good week. Thanks a bunch.